Okay, good afternoon, everyone. Today is January
27th,
2016, and we are here at United Orthodox Synagogues in Houston, Texas, for our weekly Lunch and Learn. This week is Parshat Yitro, and so just to make sure everyone has what they need, everyone should have a Tanakh handout. Rabbi Silt, could you get some more Tanakhs, please? Because I don't think everyone has one. Okay, so what we're gonna talk about Yitro today. Yitro is Moshe's father-in-law, and what's really interesting is that there is a wonderful relationship between Yitro and his father-in-law. It was pointed out to me. Yitro and Moshe, between Moshe and his father-in-law. Thank you. Right. It was pointed out to me that there's a parallel to this in the book of Ruth, where there's also a very good in-law relationship, right, between Ruth and her mother-in-law, Naomi. And here there's also a good relationship between Moshe and his father-in-law, Yitro. I haven't paralleled any of the verses or any of the conversations. That would be an interesting study. But here I thought we would talk about a few aspects of Yitro's personality, which may help us understand why he got along so well with Moshe. Now, there's no reason to assume he wouldn't have gotten along, but it seems to me that there are hints along the way that there's a special relationship between the two of them. So let's start on page 115, which is not this week's Parsha, but that's where we're first introduced to Yitro. So just to catch everyone up, Danielle, do you want to come to the table? You're okay there? We can make room for you if you want. Okay. So we first meet Yitro by accident. Moshe runs away from Egypt after he kills an Egyptian who was beating a Jew, and then he confronts two Hebrews who are fighting, and he realizes that his killing of the Egyptian is known, and they're out to get him, so he runs away. And then he meets Yitro's daughters at a well, and he helps them. Let's start on, just to get the context here, on page 115 on the bottom, Ulechohim Midyan, verse 16. Ulechohim Midyan Sheva Banot, Atavona, Vatidlena, Vatimlena, Etarahatim, Lahashkotzon Avihen. So Yitro sent his daughters out to bring water. Now, does that verse raise any question for anybody here?
Why couldn't he get it himself?
Not that necessarily, but sons. I mean, maybe he didn't have sons, but why it seems like not a safe thing to do. Maybe that's why he sent them in a group of seven. But it seems not safe, maybe uncommon, to send women to go do that. Now, of course, we're going to see that there are lots of Bible stories where people meet their wife at the well, right? So maybe it wasn't as uncommon, but I think it's worth keeping our minds on that. We're going to see a midrash that's going to address that.
Especially since it appears that there are sometimes tough shepherds in the area.
Exactly. That's what happens next, right? The other shepherds come and drove them off. They're not giving these seven daughters of Yitro a chance to get to the water, to the well, for their flock. What happens? Moshe comes along, Vayoshian, Vayakam Moshe, Vayoshian, Vayashkonam. Moshe now just continues to play the role he has been playing all along as the savior. And now he comes and he saves these women, these seven women or seven girls, right, being chased away by the other shepherds. And then they have a chance to water their flock. And then Moshe disappears from the scene again. They come back, the daughters come back home. Now, we're not going to really deal with the issue of why Yitro is called Yitro, Reuel, Yeter. The traditional approach is it's all the same guy, and he had different names because it referred to different aspects of his personality. Okay?
I have different names for you, different parts of your personality.
Right. I didn't say different personalities. There's an aspects. Okay. We all have different aspects of our personality, and the Torah may be using different names to express that. But that's worthwhile of discussion, not for A. And so, but he wants to know how they got back so fast. I mean, normally, it doesn't happen as fast. He says, well, Ish Mitzri Hitzilanu Miyad Haroim. An Egyptian saved us from the shepherds. Again, Moshe, according to the Midrash, this is why, by the way, this is why Moshe doesn't get into Israel. This is why Moshe isn't into Israel. What did he do wrong here?
He hit the...
He probably got married to one, no?
He does, but that...
I thought he didn't get in because of the rock.
According to Midrash, this is why. Because apparently this conversation is recorded later, and Moshe in front of Yitro is referred to as an Ish Mitzri, and he doesn't correct them. He should have said, what do you mean? I'm not an Egyptian. I'm a Hebrew. And because he didn't...
But they're saying an Egyptian.
I know, but apparently it was recorded later, according to the Midrash, later, and he doesn't fix it. Okay, so...
Does the Mitzri look different?
Well, he's dressed like an Egyptian.
They're not in the same place.
Walk like an Egyptian.
No, I'm saying the Midrash must be assuming that this conversation was repeated later in Moshe's presence.
Is
okay?
He protecting himself?
Maybe. Could be, but apparently that wasn't acceptable. Okay, so now let's look what. Now here's the first clue that when I looked at this, Vayomer Benotav Vayo, where is this guy who helped you? Lama ze azavtem et ha'ish, kiren lo vayochal lachem. What is Yitro illustrating here?
That he's a good man.
Kindness. A certain sense of chesed. Right? How could you? This guy just saved you. You were being harassed by the other shepherds. And you just say, thank you, mister. Have a nice day. You don't invite him home to eat and to rest. Where are your manners?
They didn't even say thank you.
Where's your chesed? So right away, without even looking at any commentary, we see a commonality between Moshe and Yitro. Right? What does Moshe do? Moshe exercises kindness when he helps the shepherds, and Yitro returns the favor. And now he returns the favor. He's upset, like he's almost as if he is saying, "What? Haven't I taught you anything? Right? Haven't I been a good father that you should have known that when someone does this kind of kindness for you?" You don't just simply let it go unrecognized. Bring him here. Get him. So they go get him. Right? Moses consented to stay with the man. So apparently they go get them. Maybe he's not so far off. Maybe the well wasn't so far from where Yitro is. But Yitro, right away. So I think that's one commonality between Moshe. And by the way, what do we also see? We're also told that a sheep, right after Moshe becomes Yitro's son-in-law, he also works for him. He joins the family business of shepherding. And then one of the sheep runs away, right? And Moshe runs after it and puts it on his shoulder and carries it back. Moshe saves the Jew from the Egyptian. Moshe's M.O. at the beginning of his career is all about kindness. And that's what Yitro illustrates here as well. Almost, I read, like almost angry at his daughters that he didn't do it. That's one common denominator, I think, between Yitro and Moshe. But I think there's more. I think it goes deeper. Now, that is the last we hear of Yitro, by the way. We're done until this week's Parsha. So now let's jump all the way to page 151.
So wait a minute. So he marries
Tzipora,
which is not Jewish.
They all married. Sure.
Right, Yitro's daughter. And so here we go. So now what happens?
Ruth wasn't Jewish either.
The Jews are out of Egypt. They've gone through the sea. Right, last year we read the Shirat Hayam. They're through. The Egyptians are
done.
Fartik, as we say in French. And they're free. And now we learn the following. Vayishma Yitro, Kohen Midyan, Chotein Moshe, Eit Kol Asher Asal, Okim LeMoshe, LeYisrael Amo, Ki Hotzi Hashem, Et Yisrael Mimitraim. Yitro hears this whole story. What does he do? Vayikach Yitro, Chotein Moshe, Tzipar, Eshet Moshe, Achashi Lucheha. This is also news to us. Apparently Moshe and Tzipar have been separated for some time. We don't know why. There's no indication at all in the text that this happened until here. Some say it happened when Moshe and Tzipora were on their way back to Egypt and they were met up by this mysterious angel that's going to kill their son, and Tzipora becomes the Moel, right? Tzipora becomes the Moel and does the Brit Milah. Maybe that's when they separated. There's no indication. And also some Midrashim say they actually got a divorce. Tzipora, baby Tzipora's like, this is not what I signed up for. And now Yitro is saying, don't be an idiot, Tzipora. He's a good catch. He's going to change the course of human history. It's time for you to go back to him. But he's not a doctor. He's not a doctor. In any case, they are now reunited. And the two sons, they bring back. Okay? Vayavo Yitro, Pasuk 5. Vayavo Yitro, Chotein Moshe, Vanavi Ishto, El Moshe, El Midbar, So why does Yitro go back? Why does Yitro go back to Moshe? According to what we just read.
He took his daughter and their grandchildren.
So one thing in the text, right, is he wants to reunite his family. Okay, so he doesn't want them to go alone, but there's something else in the text. Right? Right. The fact that the Torah says that Yitro heard everything that God had done for Moshe and saved him, I think the Torah is telling us two things. Yes, Yitro went back because he wanted Tzipora to reunite. Technically, he could have sent her with a messenger, with a bodyguard. Or he could have sent her alone. He had already sent his daughters alone. Uber, right. He sent his daughters alone to the well. And she was the fact that the Torah also adds that he heard all of this, it's telling us that there's something more than just a family reunion. There's something about Yitro that draws him to Moshe and draws him to the Jewish people. And now we know this because what happens? Moshe in verse 8 tells Yitro everything that happened. And what does Yitro then say to do? Look at verse 10 and 9. First, Vayichad Yitro al kol ha-tova asher Hashem asem li-Yisrael. There's no more talk about the reunion, right? There's no talk about what happened between Moshe and Tzipora. No conversation. Yitro saying to Moshe, hey Moshe, listen, I know that things haven't been going so well. Either you got divorced, you've been separated. Here she is. Here are your kids. Mazel tov, right? Nothing. That's it. It's all now about the salvation and Yitro's reaction, which is a religious reaction. Vayomer Yitro, verse 10, page 152. Baruch Hashem asher hitzil etchem miyad Mitzrayim u'miyad paro asher hitzil etam mitachat yad Mitzrayim. Thank God for doing this. Atayadati. What happens? Now I know. Ki gadol Hashem mikol ha-elokim, kol ha-elohim actually, asher b'davar, now I know that the Lord is greater than all the gods, yes, by the result of their very schemes, and now they bring karbanot.
He's changing his religion.
Yes, but correct.
He is,
I don't know if he converts, but he's moving towards Moshe's religion. But moving from where to Moshe? This is the key for me. The key for me is that Yitro, I think, is already a religiously sensitive person. We know he's the Kohen Midyan, right? The Torah says, right? But he's never satisfied, it seems. And we're going to see Midrashim that talk about this. He's never satisfied with what he has uncovered theologically or religiously. He's always listening, Vayishma Yitro, right? He's always sensitive to some other religious voice, to some other call, to help him come closer to what he thinks is the truth. And I think that's the other reason why he and Moshe have such a good relationship. He and Moshe are also both religious. Moshe's also a religious seeker. Moshe also heard the voice of God, right, at the burning bush, at the sneh. And Moshe was also the one who interacted with God in Har Sinai and delivered the Torah, right? He was the conduit between Jewish people and God. So there are these two aspects of Yitro's personality that Moshe shared. It wasn't only the shidduch between Moshe and Yitro may have been better than it was between Moshe and Zipporah.
Oh, now you're getting into into very woe.
They both were, metaphorically speaking, the prophets in the wilderness, right? Because Moshe heard it while he was wandering out in the desert.
Right.
His family, which was ancient.
Right.
And Midian, the first encounter.
Right.
He runs off into the desert. And
right. So let's build on that. Right.
The high priest of Egypt.
Right.
Out there in the desert.
So we have to also figure out where Yitro comes from. But before that, I want to pick up on that, because we have to remember, who was Moshe? Right? Moshe had two paths ahead of him. Chosen. He was brought up in the palace. He was a prince, essentially. He had two choices. And when he makes his choice, it says that Moshe went out to see his brethren. Right? Moshe made a choice to leave behind a life of wealth and comfort, and fame and power, and instead choose a life that literally put his life in danger. Right, after he goes out to see his brothers, he's running away from Paro and his henchmen. His life is in danger.
But when he killed the Egyptian who was killing the Jews, he was still an Egyptian. I don't.
That was him choosing a side.
Yeah, but he chose.
No, a side.
But I'm just saying he could have been a good Egyptian, not necessarily.
That's what I'm saying. He had a choice. He could have stayed in Egypt and been an Egyptian, but he didn't. Instead, when he kills the Egyptian, that's him making a choice. Who am I?
But he could have.
It could be also a good Egyptian.
He could have gone home and said, "That's it. I did it. The guy was a bad guy. I'm a prince. I'm allowed to do it."
It was too late. Once he killed an Egyptian,
it could be a metaphor. He's killing.
He doesn't. The truth is, he doesn't run away right away. He only runs away after the two Jews say to Moshe, "Are you going to kill us? Are you going to kill him?" So he realizes that they're after him. So maybe he could have, but at that point, it was too late. He may have wanted to say, "Oops." But he couldn't, because from the Egyptian perspective, they were after him. Yitro does something similar. Let's look at this amazing midrash. The rabbi picked up on just a few textual hints in the text itself, and they build up Yitro into this religious hero. Okay, so let's look first. First, let's look at this midrash. Skip a few pages to page 3, and then we'll come back to the other midrash. Look at the bottom line of this midrash. Lo hiniach Yitro avodah zarah b'chol ha'olam shelo avar aleha v'lo avda. Page 3, it's double-sided, everything's double-sided. It says page 3 on the bottom. It looks like this, just like a cut and paste. On the bottom, it says Mechilta de Rabbi Yishmael on top. The last line is in bold. Lo hiniach Yitro avodah zarah b'chol ha'olam shelo avar aleha v'lo avda. Yitro never let the opportunity pass to serve a pagan god. Whenever he came across a pagan god, what's their textual? The textual proof is, it says in the Torah. Well, it says, Mikol Elokim. Now I know that God is greater than all the gods. So it could be that the rabbis are exaggerating. It may not mean all the gods, but maybe all the gods that I've encountered. Yitro was a pagan, but not just, but what is, you could read this in a negative way. You could also, I think there's a positive way to read this. What does this say about him? He's right. Yitro's always searching for the true God. So, he doesn't like the one he's worshiping now. Oh, there's a traveling band of pagans who worship this god. Let me try that one. No, that doesn't work either. Let me try that one. Let me try this one. Right? He's a searcher. He's a religious seeker. There are two ways to think about someone who has served and who has practiced multiple religions. You could call them indecisive. You could call them non-committal,
But you could also think that they're a seeker, and until they find what the one that makes sense to them, they're going to keep trying. And I think that's what the rabbis are telling us here.
So when they say he's a priest of Midian, what is he exactly? Where is Midian? Sorry.
So let's talk about that. Now let's go back to the beginning of the packet. So at one point, it tells that Yitro lived in Midian, or Moshe ran away, right, from Egypt, and he went to Midian, and that's where he found Tzipora. If you flip back quickly to page 115, Vayishma Paro et hadavar hazeh v'yivakesh l'harog et Moshe. Like we said, right, Paro heard that Moshe killed the Egyptian, and now he wanted to kill Moshe. So even if Moshe now wanted to stick around and be a good Egyptian, too late. Okay? Vayivrach Moshe b'nei Paro. Moshe runs away. Vayeshev v'eretz Midian. Vayeshev al ha-be'er. Moshe runs to Midian and goes to the well. So why does he go to the well? Well, one reason to go to the well is because you don't want to die. But the other way, he also, maybe he's also trying to find a wife. He has a, maybe he's heard from, you know, the slave fields about Avraham Yitzchak. Now to the Midrash. Page 1, of the packet. And he dwelt in the land of Midian. He adopted the practice of his ancestors, meaning Moshe did what? Page 1, bottom right. Moshe did what his ancestors did. Three met their marriage partners at the well: Isaac, Jacob, and Moses. Isaac, as is written, and also Rebekah met Eliezer at the well. Okay, skipping a little bit, now to page 2. Jacob, and he looked, and behold, okay, so Moshe's figuring, hey, maybe it's time for me to start a family. How do you meet someone?
The center of social.
You
get a shot
in. Right. Okay, now look at this. And he sat down by the well. Now the priest of Midian had 7 daughters. These are the verses we started with, right? So now the question that the Midrash is asking, 2 questions. One question is, we started out earlier. Why is Yitro sending his daughters?
To find a husband.
Hold on. No. It seems unsafe. Well, second is, why would it be? Now, from the theological perspective, the rabbis wonder. Why would it be that God would set it up, that Moses, who is the lawgiver, right, the savior of the Jews, marries the daughter of a pagan priest? Right, Avraham and Yitzchak also had to leave their communities to find. You want to join us over here? And but specifically, they didn't go to the pagans. They wanted to go to the ones that were more in their family tradition, were nicer. Why would God set it up that Moses' wife? Right, isn't that also? You think about the danger. There's a great danger in that. Is that Moses' children are going to be influenced by his wife, who's a pagan? Right? Why would he do that? So now, listen to how the rabbis put Yitro on a pedestal. God does not God hate idolaters? Yet he allowed Moses. We're on page 2 on the left side on the top. Yet he allowed Moses to find a refuge with an idolater. The fact is, say the sages, that Yitro was at first a priest to idolatrous worship, but when he saw that there was no truth in it, he despised it and thought of repenting even before Moses came. Right? So now the rabbis are picking up on these little hints in the text, also saying that Yitro was a seeker, a religious seeker. Even he tried out every avodah zarah, and then every pagan god, when he was done with all of them, he said, well, maybe he had some vague notion of the Abrahamic idea of God. Who knows how that happened, okay? He summoned his townsmen and said, so what does he do? Now, he's the priest. Now he's got to quit, right? It's not so easy. He's got to quit his job. He summoned his townsmen and said, hitherto I ministered unto you, but now I become old. Choose another priest. Okay, he's going to use the retirement gambit on them. So but he makes one mistake. And he returned unto them all the insignia of the priesthood. Ugh, that's a little fishy. It's one thing to retire, but now I'm going to give you back all of my religious stuff, which seems to indicate I'm not just retiring from being a religious leader, I'm retiring from this religion entirely. Whereupon they excommunicated him, that no man be in his company or work for him or tend his flock. He asked the shepherds to look after his flock, but they refused, and he had to employ his daughters. This midrash answers two questions.
Wow, so that's why he
Why did he send his daughter? He had no choice. He was in Chirim. No one would talk to him. Just remember he said Moshe had the choice. And he gave up a life of comfort and fame and riches to be a Hebrew. Yitro does the same thing. He does the exact same thing. He realized that his religion wasn't true. And he gives it all up. And maybe he didn't realize the price he would pay. But he loses all of his farmhands. He has to put his daughters to work. I mean, you think about it, the high priest of Midian's daughters have to work? That's another question you would ask. Not only why would he send his daughters, why would the high priest not have
servants,
people? Yep. He had people. But they all left. They excommunicated him because he made a choice. So this answers both of those questions. And also, it puts another beautiful parallel between Moshe and Yitro. Danielle, you had a question?
Yeah, I mean, I somewhat disagree with the notion that this was a novelty, that the women went to draw water from the well, again, because we see it biblically in the past. And even in today's day and age, in certain primitive cultures, I mean, you think back to kind of visions of those African women walking with those giant jugs on their head.
Right.
Going
yeah. So well. It could be, right.
So, I mean, I agree more with the
second piece, that he was a priest.
He was a priest.
Right.
And the priest had everything delivered to him.
Fair enough.
And
fair enough.
Sent his kids out.
Right. Fair enough. Could be.
He didn't have this always. This is also.
Yeah, let me guess.
This is also a way of reconciling the identity of Moses' children. That so if Jethro was an adherent or at least of interest,
right,
then so too his daughter.
Sure, right. It solves a lot of problems.
Right.
By the time Moses got there,
right,
Yitro was a monotheist.
Sorry, right. And the daughter then.
And presumably, right, he dragged everyone around. Right, right, exactly.
Yeah. And also Rebecca draw water from the well and water the Eliezer.
Right, right. So it could have been correct, although it was not, we do see that there was an element of, if not danger, an element of harassment on the part of the shepherds towards the women. But it could be, as Daniel said, maybe more likely that we would have expected the high priest to have people to go do this for him and not to have to send his daughters. No, I'm saying it's the rabbis. No, it's not. The rabbis already are saying it doesn't really make sense.
Unusual.
It's unusual for whatever reason. Okay, so just a few more.
I don't agree.
Let's go back to page 3.
Yeah.
Okay?
Page 3. That was the original.
The original, just a sort of typed page. We'll even see how the rabbis are willing to denigrate the Jewish people in order to lift up Yitro. The rabbis had a real love affair with Yitro. There are some midrashim that don't speak about him so well, but most of the midrashim go out of their way to build him up. Here's another example. What happens? We saw Yitro, Moshe tells Yitro everything that happened, and what does Yitro say? Baruch Hashem asher hitzil etchem miyad mitzrayim miyad paro. Blessed is God who saved you from Egypt and from Paro. So let's look at this midrash. Let's start 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines up from the bottom. It says Vayichad Yitro.
Oh, yeah,
5 lines up from the bottom.
From the bottom.
Vayichad Yitro. Rabbi Yoshua Omer b'tovat haman hakatub medaber. What was Yitro so excited about? He heard about the man, right? The miracle food. Okay. Rabbi Elazar hamodai Omer b'tovat habeer hakatub medaber. Oh no, Moshe and he were talking about this mysterious well, right, that followed them around the desert. Rabbi Eliezer Omer b'tovat Eretz Yisrael hakatub medaber. No, they were talking about how beautiful the land of Israel is and that God is going to give it to the Jewish people. Amrulo atid hamakom litein lanu shesh midot tovot. God is going to give us 6 good things. Now, Vayomer Yitro Baruch Hashem. Yitro then praises God. Listen to this. Amar Rabbi Papis Bignut Yisrael HaKetuv Medaber. This verse is actually expressing a negative trait of the Jewish people. Why? Shahare Yesham Shishim Ribua B'nei Yisrael. There are 600,000 Jews. V'lo amar echad mehem levarech l'makom ad sheba Yitro varech. Not one of them could say Baruch Hashem until Yitro did.
Well, how do they know he didn't?
Right.
How do they know?
Right. It's amazing. Right. By the way, what did the Jews do when they got out of the
They
said right. They did.
They
said Az Yashir, their whole song. And then Miriam took out the
tambourine.
Right, they did. But no, it doesn't matter. What have you done from you lately? The Torah is taking a right. The Torah is taking a very what have you done from me lately attitude. Yitro said Baruch Hashem, and the Jews, there are 600,000. That's just the men between 20 and 60, so a couple of million people. None of them could have come up with Baruch Hashem. So you see, the rabbis here, don't do this so often, are willing to sort of put down the Jews and raise up Yitro. And then what's the end of that midrash? Yitro trod out every Avodah Zarah. Meaning, I think they're saying that's why he did it, because he was constantly seeking and constantly searching for the truth. And when he found it, he expressed it with a Baruch Hashem Asher Hitzil Etchem.
Oh, maybe he just wants to sound Jewish.
So Yitro's it wasn't Jewish then. That's the whole point. This whole notion of us saying Baruch Hashem was introduced by a pagan priest.
Okay.
Right? You can't say he wanted to sound Jewish. So the whole point of the Midrash is that the Jews didn't do it.
Because you said it was just introduced.
By a pagan priest. So if you want to just see a little bit more of this in context, I gave you a few more pieces of paper, a few more copies from some wonderful books that flesh out this idea. Aviva Zornberg, who's a wonderful teacher of a Bible, she calls Yitro a hero of spiritual curiosity. That's a nice phrase. If you look on page 4, it's underlined towards the bottom right. A hero of spiritual curiosity. And also this notion of Yitro leaving everything behind. If you look in the middle of that page, it's a quote from Exodus chapter 18, verse 5, where the Torah tells us, Vayavo Yitro chotein Moshe v'nav ishto el Moshe el hamidbar. Yitro came to Moshe into the desert, which the rabbis right away catch on as being redundant. We know Moshe was in the desert. Why does the Torah have to tell us that Yitro went to the desert? So look at the commentary from the Midrash in the middle of the page. We also know that it has happened in the desert. But the text sings Yitro's praise, that he was settled in the honor of the world when his heart prompted him to go out to the wilderness, a place of emptiness, in order to hear the words of the Torah. So comment after comment, Midrash after Midrash, the rabbis build up Yitro and turn him into, as Aviva Zornberg says, a hero of spiritual curiosity. Just one other thing I'll show you, which you could read on your own. Page 6 and 7 is from another book called Subversive Sequels in the Bible. And this actually highlights a difference between Yitro and Moshe. And I'll leave it to you to read on your own. You'll just see that Moshe very much was a loner. He worked on his own. And Yitro worked very hard to make him more into a social being, right? Take more judges, have people help you. You'll see that on page 6 and 7. So you see that Moshe and Yitro did have a wonderful rapport, and it's likely because they shared commitments to two things. Kindness, right? The first time we're introduced to Yitro, it's because he says, this man did something good for you, and you leave him over there at the well, bring him here, we got to feed him, we got to give him something to drink. And we know that Moshe's whole career started out with acts of kindness, and both of them are spiritual seekers, and that's maybe what attracts one to the other. We see the rabbis take just small little hints in the Torah and build up Yitro into this great spiritual figure.
That's
okay.
It. What I want to ask is about when he saw in the burning bush the presence of God, did he tell Yitro that it is something that happened
That's true. That's a good point.
God told him to go.
Yeah, he does tell Yitro, I'm leaving. And it's interesting. And he doesn't tell Yitro why. Yitro says, what are you doing? He goes, I'm going to go see my brethren in Egypt. He doesn't go tell him, God chose me, and I'm going to go take it. Maybe he thought Yitro wouldn't believe him. Maybe he thought Yitro, maybe their relationship was so good that he thought Yitro wouldn't let him go because it was too dangerous. But that's a very interesting point you raised.
Or maybe he's very humble.
Yes, that's another possibility. That's true. Yeah. Very good. Right.
So I missed the point of all this last paragraph here.
There are two.
I understand what Yitro said.
One is that Yitro was the one who thought of blessing God.
Yes,
exactly. So that sort of points to his religious nature. And
what's all the stuff before?
I was just reading to say what exactly did Yitro hear about that got him so excited? Was it the man? Was it the Be'er? Was it?
But you don't think the other people thank God either? Maybe they didn't use the same vernacular.
Well, we have what we have in the text, and then we have the commentary on it. Okay, everyone, have a wonderful day.